even though we passed Parshas Shlach, Shlach Lecha Anoshim V'Yasuru Es Eretz Kanaan, I would like to find the opportune moment to speak about Parshas Shlach, especially Al Pi Ramban. We didn't really get a chance to speak about the Meraglim, what they said about Eretz Yisrael, what they said to the people, what they said to Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's begin with the fact that the Meraglim, and this you'll find in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chav Ches, they make the declaration, Efes ki az ha'am hayoshev ba'aretz. And this declaration, in which they describe the people who occupy the land as people who dwell in the land and are powerful. The cities are fortified, they're very large. And we saw he calls them Yelidei Ha'anak, the offspring of the giant. All this we saw there. And yet Kalev, just two psukim later, it's recorded in the Torah that he declares, Olo nale v'yarashnu osa ki yochal nuchal lo. We should ascend, we should conquer it, surely we can subdue it. And then the Meraglim continue. And the Pasuk says, this is Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayotziu dibas ha'aretz asher soru osa el bnei Yisrael lemar ha'aretz asher varnu ba losur osa eretz ocheles yoshvehi v'chol ha'am asher ra'inu b'sokhan shei midos. The land through which we have passed to investigate it is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people that we saw in it are very large. The Ramban explains when it says in the Pasuk Vayotziu Dibas Ha'aretz Asher Saruba El Bnei Yisrael, it seems that the words El Bnei Yisrael here are superfluous. After all, weren't the spies speaking to Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel? Why did the Torah have to repeat this? Says the Ramban, Vitam, the explanation of Ayotziu Dibas Ha'oretz El Bnei Yisrael, Ki Holchu Milifnei Moshe V'Aaron, after Kalev spoke in favor of the land, which we saw earlier, Vayas Kalev Esa'om Alo Nale, and then the Meraglim Holchu Lifnei Moshe V'Aaron, they left the proximity of Moshe V'Aaron, V'ayu Omrim La'am, and they began speaking to the people, Be'olem in their tents, meaning privately, Kihi Eretz Ocheles Yoshvel. The land devours its inhabitants. Now, the Torah went out of its way, according to the Ramban, to emphasize El Bnei Yisrael, to contrast their sentence, their statement of Eretz Ocheles Yoshvel with all that they had said previously, when they first came back, and they said, "Gam zovas chol dvashi v'zepiria efes kiasa ami yoshev har," etc., etc. All this description of the people was said in the presence of Moshe V'Aaron. But this particular juncture, Lamed Beis, is a turning point because here they are entering into the area of the tents of Bnei Yisrael. That's the emphasis here on Bnei Yisrael, to declare that the land is in Eretz Ocheles Yoshvel. Ki mitchila kshayu omrim lehem lifnei Moshe ha'aretz zavas chol dvash zulasei sham chazak. When they first came, and they had no compunctions or inhibitions about declaring in the presence of Moshe that although the land flows with milk and honey, the people are powerful. V'kolev, and as a result, Kalev responded by saying, "Hayomer ki yochal nuchalo." That don't get nervous. Although the people are powerful, we can subdue them. is Hayom, at that moment, at that critical stage on Poschim, they were vacillating back and forth in a state of ambivalence. Mehem, Botchim, Bekochan, there were those amongst them, one group that were Botchim, they relied upon their Koach, Ugvurasam, their power. But Mehem, and there were others who Bies Hashem, the Giborim, they were reliant upon Hashem, and there were those who, I guess, were, I mean, if I read between the lines here in the Ramban, that were confused. Az hotziu lahem b'fnei atzma dibas ha'aretz ad she'alinu kol ha'eda. In other words, since they, in their initial round, they realized that their lashon hara about Eretz Yisrael did not achieve its goal, therefore what they desired was to tell this terrible thing about Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Ochelos Yoshveha, that evil report, that they would tell the people when they were by themselves, separated from Moshe v'Aaron, and Ashialinu Kol Eido, until they would impact upon the entire congregation, and that would be against Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what it means, which is later on in Pasuk Lamed Vav, that they returned and they provoked the entire assembly against Moshe by bringing forth an evil report against the land. So it comes out according to the Ramban, just to summarize the main point, that Eretz Ocheles Yoshveah is a new message here. And it has nothing to do with the issue of can we conquer and subdue the land, can we not? There were those, as we said, who relied on Hashem, who relied on their might and power, and they were carrying the ball here. Yes, Kalev is right, Olo Nalev. But forget about that. What about the land itself? Can we live in the land? And the answer is that although we may miraculously defeat our enemies, but how can we live in this land? The land is only appropriate for Bali Koach, for very strong people. We don't fit that bill. And the Ramban, a little bit later on, explains exactly why this Lashon Hara, this Dibur Ra, they decided not to present in the presence of Moshe, because Moshe would likely contradict them. And he says the following, the tam, and the meaning of lama Hashem mevi osanu el haaretz hazos linpol becherev. This is the murmuring, if you will, of Bnei Yisrael in the next parak. We're in Parak Yud Gimel, Parak Yud Dalet, and the people are going to come forward and say, why is Hashem bringing us this land to die by the sword? Our wives and our young children will be taken captive. So the question that Rabban is bothered by, why do the people in their complaint mention the fear of dying in battle? They completely omitted any mention of the disdain that they had heard for the land itself, the Dibas Haaretz, that it's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveah. So when they came to complain against Moshe V'Aaron in the aftermath of the very negative report of the Meraglim, they complained about the Cherev, they complained about the war and the death by sword. Says Ramban, ki lo yaskiru dibas haaretz lemar gam kein vaaretz mishakeles vira'ah. They didn't want to mention in the presence of Moshe V'Aaron that dibur ra that they had heard from the Raglim, to say that the land causes bereavement, mishakeles ra'ah, and is bad, meaning that the land buries its people. So in other words, they were punished not so much because of the description of the land, but really the punishment for the Meraglim was because of their fabrication. They lied. They gave a false report. And the Ramban says the following: the people would not complain about the land in front of Moshe and Aaron, that the land would kill them, would bereave them. Ki astiru amadav zemi Moshe, mipnei shlo amru ashluchim kein behashivam davar elav vel kaleida. The people took a cue from the Meraglim themselves. The Meraglim themselves did not publicly speak about the terrible nature of the land. So when they brought the word of their spying to Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't say anything publicly about the terrible nature of the land. They were afraid that Moshe would contradict them, because Moshe knew that this was a lie. In other words, when they admitted it's an Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dvash, what they were saying is the truth, and admitting that the land was flowing with milk and honey, the claim, however, that the land would devour its inhabitants would really contradict what they said, that the land is fertile and it's producing such wonderful things. So since the Meraglim themselves omitted this complaint about the land when they reported their, the substance of their rigul, of their spying to Moshe Rabbeinu, the people also had doubts about the truth of this, and they knew very well that Moshe Rabbeinu would slug them up. He would refute them because the spies themselves had given a favorable testimony about the land. Now, if we take a look a little bit back at the beginning of Parsha Shlach, I just want to point something out over here. Or maybe we'll come back to this point a little bit later. In any event, the picture that we get from the Ramban is very clear, that when it comes to the negative report about the land itself, the Meraglim, and following suit the people, were afraid to mention this to Moshe Rabbeinu, because this was the false part of the story, and Moshe would immediately contradict them. Now let's add another Ramban into this discussion, and that is the Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. He writes, and here he points back to what he said here in Shlach and his Pirush in Bamidbar. Kvar Pirashi Shom Shekulam Hodu Thay Moshe V'yar Mechal Eidu V'yomru Bonal Eretz Shlach V'gam Zavas Chol V'dvash Hi V'zeh Pirya Hine Kulam Bas Koma Achas B'tovas Eretz. As far as the land is concerned, its fertility, there was no question, there was no doubt. It was a unanimous opinion. But when it comes to the strength of the people living in the land that would have to be conquered by the Jewish people, hey Masu Eslavama, here's where they began to scare the people. How can we win this battle against these powerful, mighty armies? The Achrichem Ber Osim Ki Yoshuva Kolev Yechazku Es Libam L'Melchama, because Yoshua and Kolev were saying, Olo Nala, we have to have faith in God and in our powers and our might and so we can defeat them. And now the people are in this quasi, this ambivalent state. Bo Shara Meraglim El B'nei Yisrael Shalom Ifnei Moshe. Here the Ramban is even more outspoken about it, and they went behind the back of Moshe. Votziu diba ala aretz sheyeretz ochel yoshvel. but not in the presence of Moshe. V'zeu v'tiraglu b'alechem. Gama'am lo yaskiru f'nei Moshe adibazos. They complained that, why did you bring us here to die at the sword? They said not a word about the land and its negative qualities. Yakfishim shalom u'kein b'tchila. Moshe Rabbeinu will contradict them. And to point out, the Meraglim themselves never said that. On the contrary, Rahodu Shitova, the Meraglim themselves admitted that the land is good. So if you want to talk about conquering the land, okay. That's one issue. But if you want to talk about the land and its nation's quality, it's a good quality. It's Gavas Chavad Vash. And that's something that the Meraglim don't deny. Aval Omru Moshe Ana Anachnu Olima Achenu. How can we go up and conquer the land? It's too powerful of a population. The inhabitants are too mighty for us. We can't take them on. That's already what the Meraglim had told them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't you believe? You saw what Hashem did for you in vanquishing Mitzrayim. He can do the same in vanquishing the people who inhabit the land. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu castigates, rebukes the people very harshly. You don't believe. You don't have faith and trust in Hashem. She'ein ha'kova el mimiut emuna. That really what's preventing you from going to take over the land is your the fact that you are midgets when it comes to faith in God. So what we see clearly is that Moshe Rabbeinu responded to their claim as far as their inability to conquer the land. Moshe Rabbeinu said nothing about their claim of Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh, because that claim was made in private, b'aleihem, Livnei Yisrael, but not in the presence of Moshe. And it would seem that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know, according to the Ramban, that the Meraglim spoke Dibara al Oretz and said Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha. And we can even go one step further and assume that even Yoshua and Kalev didn't know that. Because again, in the public dialogue or debate between the Meraglim and Yoshua and Kalev, the whole discussion on the table was about the ability to ascend and conquer the land. So when the Meraglim added Eretz Yochel Yoshua as a description of the land and how bad it is, they did that privately. Presumably even Yoshua and Kalev were not there to contradict them. However, the Ramban does seem to indicate that Yoshua and Kalev knew about it. Because after Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces, the Pasuk says, V'Yoshua b'nun v'kol ben Yifudim ben Asarim es ha'aretz, karu b'gdeyem v'yomru el kol adas b'nei Yisrael leimar, ha'aretz asher avarnu bo l'asur osa, tova ha'aretz miod miod. In other words, Yoshua and Kalev are now contradicting the other Meraglim, by saying that the land is good. But when did Yoshua and Kalev hear otherwise from the mouths of the Meraglim? When did they hear from them saying the land is not good? The Ramban says, "V'tam tov haaretz mod ma'od." The meaning of tov haaretz mod ma'od, la'hakish hadiba. They were contradicting the diba ra. Lemar she'eino ocheles yoshveh, ki ha'avir tov, v'hi eretz zavas chol v'dvash. Ramban is quite outspoken here that Yoshua and Kalev, when they spoke about the land, and they described the land as good, they were really contradicting, when they said, Aretz ha'i tov mod, tov aretz ha'mod mod, they were contradicting the Meraglim. Now the question I want to ask is, it's a technical question, but nevertheless, how is it possible that Kalev and Yoshua knew about the Dibara of the Meraglim as Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh? Moshe Aaron didn't know about it. It's a little bit of a funny split. But perhaps we can give an answer, but first we need an introduction. And I want to focus your attention on the words Lasur Es Ha'aretz. And that word lasur appears in different conjugations throughout the whole episode, the story of the Meraglim. For example, the pasuk says, "Vayotziu dibas haaretz asher saru osa." Correct. That was the pasuk that we began with in Perek Yud Gimel pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayotziu dibas haaretz asher taru osa b'nei Yisrael. So we have the word saru, taf reish vav. And then it's going to say later on, describing Yoshua ben Asarim es ha'aretz. Then we have another pasuk, when the people, the Meraglim, come back, the first thing they say is ha'aretz asher avarnu ba lasur osa. So over and over again, there's a pattern that repeats itself, the word to describe their investigation of the land is lasur osa. So what is that, the meaning of that word, lasur osa? But beyond that, when the Meraglim first come, it doesn't say saru osa or anything similar. It just says hotziu as dibas haaretz. So let's perhaps study, and here we're rewinding to the beginning of the parasha of the Ramban, who explains the whole concept of shiluach HaMeraglim. So this is the Ramban in Perek Yud Gimel, we're going back one, in Pasuk Beis. Let's see if we can read the Ramban and study his holy words. The Ramban says the following, Avol Yishuv Ha'inyan Azeh, in order to understand the Meraglim and the entire episode. Ki Yisrael Amru Kedar Kalabayim Lilachim Eretz Nachriya. The Jews really responded in a normal way. We could have anticipated, expected this. This is natural. That any people, any nations about to wage war and begin a military campaign against a foreign country, Sheshalchel Lefnei Anoshim Ladas Hadrachim of Ha'arim. First you send out spies who will get to know the roads, the different approaches to the city. Ubishuvam yelchu hasorim barosh hatzava lahoros lefnei madrachim. And when the time comes to begin to embark upon the military campaign, then it would make sense that those scouts would be at the head of the brigade. They would guide the soldiers, they would tell them which roads they need to take. And we find this in Parsha Shoftim, when the pasuk says, Kinyan Shenemar, Hareini na es mevo ha'ir, show us the approach to the city. And this is during the conquest of the last portions of Canaan. And this is in, I said it was in Parsha Shoftim, but I meant to say it's in Sefer Shoftim, pardon the error. So this is after already Yoshua had died. And the pasuk describes Beis Yosef and spying out Beis El, and then they saw a man and they asked him to how should we approach the city? Hareini na es mevo ha'ir, show us the approach to the city. V'sheyitnu lev etza b'eiza ir yilachmu tchila. The scouts were meant to bring back a piece of advice regarding which city they should battle first, the Azitzad, Tiamul Cham of Nachlich Mosharetz, from which direction they should come in, and there's more of a statistical probability that they'll be able to successfully conquer the land, the Kach Aru B'Feirish, and all this was said by Klal Yisrael. V'yashivu osanu davar es haderech asher na'aleba v'esha'orim asher navo aleihem. Nuns the men are sent out, let him spy the land, and they should bring back word to us the road on which we should ascend, the cities to which we should come. This is all clear at the beginning of Sefer Devarim. So the basic meaning of this entire section here about the cities with which we will come is Klomar Ha'arim Asher Novo Aleim Tchila U'Misham Novo Laretz, being the cities that we should come to first, and from there be easy
to enter into the rest of the land in a very effective way.
So
this is appropriate as a strategy based on the natural law for any conquerors of lands. He himself, Moshe, in the case of the city of Yazir, it says, Shenemar, Vayishlach Moshe L'Ragil Es Yazir,
and this is in Perikof Aleph,
V'chein B'Yoshua also, Vayishlach Yoshua Bin Nun Bin Ashitim Shnayim Anoshim Miraglim,
so the spies are being dispatched,
and this is absolutely what we anticipate. V'alkein Hayatov B'Einei Moshe,
and therefore it really found favor in the eyes of Moshe,
their suggestion to send spies.
Because the Torah doesn't rely on miracles.
The Torah wants us, this is a famous shita of the Ramban in many places,
to rely on nature rather than on miracles.
But rather, he commands
the people to take arms,
you know, to go out to battle with the proper protection.
And Larov means to lay ambushes.
Kasher ba bakosim ulchavasai
shoysal pi Hashem.
We'll see this also in Yoshua Perek Ches with regard to the war, the milchama against Ai,
which was waged according to Al Pi Hashem, the word of God.
In other words, we follow the regular procedures step by step on the natural law to combat our enemies and to embark upon a military campaign.
We will call this Rabin, and we see this many times in the Tanakh.
V'az nimlach Moshe v'shchina v'noslam Hashem rishus.
Moshe just wanted to get the okay from the Shechina. God gave him permission,
and the stage is set. There was nothing improper about the people's request, and therefore God wholeheartedly approved it.
This is the Shita of the Ramban against Rashi at the beginning of Parashat Shlach.
V'yomalo shlach l'cha anoshim yisuru esar.
Send forth for yourself men and let them spy out the land.
V'yedua v'yagivulehem v'alpiyem t'siyatsu b'inyan akibush.
They will know what to tell you. You will rely on what they tell you, and you make plans to conquer the land.
Then the Ramban says the following: V'itochin ki Moshe bavir sheyodesh ki hishmeina v'tova.
It's possible, says the Ramban, that Moshe Rabbeinu, since he knew that the entire land was shmeina v'tova, is therefore ki Moshe nemar el eretz tova or chava el eretz omas cholot vash.
Is bavur came. Omer lehem sheyitnu leiv ladas kein kidei sheyagidu la'am.
So he told, Moshe told the people, meaning the men that were sent out as spies, to be attentive and to support this principle that the land is good, verify that the land is good, and that when they returned, they should be able to tell the entire people, the whole nation, about the goodness of the land.
We've mentioned this Ramban in the past, that Moshe Rabbeinu's plan was to invigorate the people, to reactivate them with a sense of joy and vigor to go up to the land, because the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael requires simcha.
So in other words, according to the Ramban, when Moshe Rabbeinu requested that the people determine if the land was good, he was not specifically referring to one part of the land, but the whole of Eretz. So Moshe believed that the land was good, but he wanted to make sure that the miraglim would activate and excite the people when they would bring back a very positive report about the land.
V'achlifu kach lalos shom b'simcha l'kach omolem l'kach tami pri'oretz.
Moshe was very careful to insist that they take from the fruit of the land.
The people see how great, how beautiful the land is, the praise from the land, and they will see this with their own eyes.
And they will be encouraged, they'll be enthusiastic, they'll be full of joy and anticipation.
The Ramban says Umina yadua ki ein Mitzrayim rechoka ma'od mi'chevron.
You should know that Mitzrayim is not far from Chevron. Rak kimahalach shivas yomim. It's a journey of 7 days. V'yaretz Kanaan magas bitchuma karav leMitzrayim.
The boundaries of the land of Canaan extend very close to Mitzrayim.
V'efshe shelo yedu hadorim b'Mitzrayim inyan eretz Canaan.
Hatovehi imra'a.
And those who live in the land of Mitzrayim would no doubt have the right information regarding the land of Canaan, whether it's good or bad, Hatovehi imra'a,
because they lived so close.
Aval kavanosel shel Moshe ladas haderech shel yalaba.
Ramban here has a certain shift in his approach, whereas before the Ramban maintained that the decision of Moshe to send the Meraglim was to find out about how to conquer the land, military strategy, where to go in, which roads, which cities, etc., etc. Now the Ramban is saying that the purpose and the motivation of Moshe Rabbeinu was to achieve the goal that the people would get excited about the land, that it's an Eretz Tova, and they would excite the people and invigorate them to go to battle and conquer the land. Ramban now turns back to his original interpretation that Moshe's intention was to determine the route upon which they should ascend, the cities that should be conquered first, Kasha Pirashti, as I explained before. So the original interpretation of the Ramban is that Moshe's motive for sending the Meraglim was battle strategy. He takes a little bit of a turn off here and suggests that maybe you would argue that Moshe wanted to hear whether the land is good or not, and he doesn't accept that approach because Egypt is so close to Hebron. It's a 7-day journey. Eretz Canaan reaches the boundaries of Canaan very close. The boundaries of Canaan reach very close to the land of Egypt. So therefore it's impossible that those who live in Egypt would not know the information regarding the land. So there's no need to send spies about that. But really, Moshe is spending spies for a different reason, namely for military strategy. And then he says, V'omnom ha'om hayu b'mitzrayim ovdim bavodas perach. It could be that the people of Israel, even though they were so long in Mitzrayim, knew nothing about the land, even though they were in close proximity, because the nation during their 210 years of Mitzrayim were busy in excruciating hard labor, avodas parach, crushing harshness, v'lo yod v'lo yavinu, and therefore they were not able in their misery to know much about the land. Lo yod v'lo yavinu, they didn't know, nor did they understand. And they had no information about a country so close as Canaan. Valkein rotza Moshe yagidu lehem kol inyoni aretz. So the Ramban is sort of defending himself against the Kasha. You know, maybe Moshe really wants the people to hear from the Meraglim about the goodness of the land. L'samcha b'malo sehem mal sehod, to gladden them with the superior qualities and the unique nature of the land, which was the Ramban's second pshat. And you'll ask me the question, but couldn't they have certainly known about the goodness of the land because they were so close to the land for over 2 centuries? The answer is they were so busy and so crushed by the misery of the Avodas Parech that lo yadu v'lo yavinu. And therefore he needed Moshe, the spies, in order to excite the people of Israel about the land of Israel, to gladden their hearts, to speak and teach the people about the superior qualities that make this land so unique. Ki yodea haya bahem. Moshe knew of these qualities. Moshe wasn't enduring slavery in Egypt, and therefore he was free to concentrate on the lands around, meaning Eretz Canaan. But God already told him about the goodness of the land. So therefore, the Ramban resurrects his second pshat, that perhaps Enoch Inami Moshe was interested in the spies describing the goodness of the land. V'chein nira od, and the Ramban says it would seem further ki heim sholu v'moshe nishlecha anoshel faneinu v'yachperu lanu es ha'aretz. That the people came to Moshe beginning with a request, let's send men ahead of us and let them, the Yachru, let them search out the land. This is all in Perek Aleph of Sefer Dvarim. V'hu chibus bidrachim uve'inyan akibush. So here the Ramban is again supporting his first interpretation that Moshe was motivated for matters that pertain to the conquering of the land. Milashon misham chafar ochel. Okay, that's a pasuk in Iyov. V'zeh atam lifanenu. Right, nishlecha anoshim lifanenu in Parshas Dvarim. What does lifanenu mean? Ahead of us. Let them go ahead of us to show us the way, show us the road. Sheheim yelchu achreihem al darkon. They would follow behind the spies on their route to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Koloshem va'aron bris Hashem nosel lifnehem. Aval Hashem tziva v'yasuru es ha'are es eretz knan. Okay, this is a very important turning point here. The Ramban says that despite the fact that the people had requested nishalcha anoshim lefaneinu v'yachru lanu es ha'aretz, which is a reference to the conquest of the land, nevertheless Hashem commanded v'yasuru es Eretz Canaan, meaning instead of a Yachperu, which is what they had requested, Hashem said, let's send spies for a totally different reason, not she Yachperu, but rather she Yasuru. And let's see if we can understand the difference between the two. Now, the word Yasuru here means to investigate the land itself. And the meaning of the verb lasur, says Ramban, utam brira kiboyim liknos davar. It's like, let's say you want to buy something, so first you want to investigate and see if it's good, if it's worth buying. You check out the goods. So it comes out that according to the Ramban, things have changed over here. The people came forward and they were motivated by strategic purposes. They wanted to draw up a battle plan. However, there's another possible motivation, which the Ramban had mentioned earlier, to encourage and excite the people in the state of joy to fight for the land, to conquer it and subdue it. Now the Ramban is suggesting that the people's original request was only with regard to a battle plan, but when Moshe Rabbeinu heard the words of Hashem, V'yasuru es Eretz Kanaan, not V'yachperu, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that Hashem changes the word of the people with their request because Hashem says, I have a different plan in mind. The original plan would have been, as the people wanted it, strategic battle plan, but Hashem wanted them to hear about the goodness of the land, and that's what V'yasuru means. So V'yasuru means to investigate. Like you want to buy an esrog, so you pick it up and you look at it this way, and you look at it that way, and then you decide with its milos and its chesronos if it's worth it for you to enter into the deal. You go out and check an apartment, a flat, you check it out, look at it, and see what the features are. And the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, Milshon Levad Me'anshei Hatorim VeHasochrim, merchants and peddlers. So it would seem that we're talking about people who would investigate something. That's what Hashem's plan was, and that's what Lasur, that's what he sent the Meraglim for. And he brings another pasuk from Yechezkel, Eretz Asher Tarti, the land that I picked out. V'chein Lasur Lehemenucha, to pick out a resting place. So Lasur always means to decide whether you want to take this one, you choose it. V'alkein tziva osa Moshe b'frat hatova hi imra hashmeni hi imraza. Now we understand clearly why Moshe Rabbeinu specified in his instructions to the spies that they should check in detail the nature of the land in Tova, in Ra, Shmeina, in Raza. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it fertile? Is it lean? Vaklal is samcham. And here the Rabban reiterates what he said earlier, that the general idea here and the objective of the spies, the way they were sent by Moshe, was to gladden the heart of the people about the land. Ki tzvihi l'chol haratzos. It is the splendor, as Yechezkel would have it, of all the lands. V'yalu lo b'chefetz gadol. And now they were sent to it with great enthusiasm. So it would seem to me that at some point the Ramban, after presenting the two possible reasons or motivations to send the spies, one is v'yachru l'emesar, it's to know the derech, l'ilachem, the strategic military program, and number two, v'yasuru, that they should know and investigate if this is a good deal or not. Moshe Rabbeinu, although Klal Yisrael were motivated by the strategic, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Klal Yisrael to hear about the milus of Eretz Yisrael, the shvach of Eretz Yisrael, so that they would go into the land, rise up against the nations that occupy the land, becheshek gadol, besimcha becheshek gadol, to invigorate them, as we said before, with a sense of joy, a sense of purpose. What happens? The Meraglim come back from Eretz Yisrael, they display the fruits, they don't say anything against the mila of Eretz Yisrael or the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael. In the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, they are clearly on board to admit and acknowledge the greatness of the land. However, as far as the Yachbaru is concerned, meaning as far as creating a strategic blow-by-blow description of a plan, here they say, Efes Kiyaz Ha'am, this is an exercise of futility. There's no way that we can conquer the land. So the V'yachbaru falls apart over here. They were sent for V'yachbaru, but it's a futile effort to try to conquer the land. So why do you need a battle plan to conquer it? And then Kalev counters by saying, Alo Nala. And now the people are ambivalent. So the Meraglim have to, in a sense, he calculated, if I can use that word, meaning initially they were sent for the Yachbaru, but they realized that they would not succeed if they played that role as the Yachbaru, because the people would be ambivalent and they might be influenced to say, you know what, we can succeed in a military campaign. But at some point, the Meraglim shift their focus and, in a sense, cast off their role, their responsibility of the Yachbaru, and instead what they want to do is convey the message about the land. The word viasuru that we said is to investigate, you know, when you want to buy something, to see whether it's worth it, the good and the bad, and then weigh the whole picture. And that's why, to answer that question, at the very beginning when the Meraglim came, it doesn't say Saru Osa. Because initially, the plan of the Meraglim was to say Efes Ki Az Ha'am, and then on a level of V'yachbaru, to convince the people that this is an exercise of futility, there's no point for V'yachbaru, because what battle plan can you have when you know you're going to lose the battle? So at that point, they were playing the role and wearing the hat of the Yachbaru, but not Lasur. And it doesn't say Lasur because they didn't speak about their investigation of the quality of the land. They only spoke about the possibility, or in this case, the impossibility of conquering the land in a military campaign. Then the Meraglim begin to realize that on the level of the military campaign, in other words, in terms of their role and their function of the Yachbaru, the people were very moved and inspired by the speech, the you know, this demagogic speech of Kolev when he said Alo Nala Ki Yochal Nuchal Lash La. Then they decided, you know what, we got to shift over here. We got to become investigators. We have to become lasur. We're no longer military scouts. We are now merchants who are weighing the pros and the cons to determine if this is a worthwhile effort. And basically what they conveyed to the people of Israel, this they couldn't do in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, but in private in the Olim, they said to the people, you know what, the fruits are very good. I'm not going to deny that. But you know what? The fruits are good, and the reason is because it's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh, meaning only the great giants can live in this land. Only Bali Koach v'chazokim can be tolerated by the land. Our weaklings, our middle-of-the-road people, we have no chance to live in the land. That's why the parents are so beautiful, so gedolim, because the voluminous, gigantic nature of the peros reflects the voluminous nature of the people of the land, and the land can only support and tolerate those who are on that level. It's like to say that if you have someone with a light pigment, he can't go into a sunny area. You need someone with a dark pigmentation in his skin. We don't have the potential, we don't have the qualities that's necessary to live in this land, because we're just Beinonim, if you will. And therefore the Pasuk now shifts and says, Vayotziu es dibas ha'aretz asher saru ba. Meaning when they're about to speak against Eretz Yisrael, it's not on a level of military campaign and the ability to succeed militarily, because that was contradicted by Kolev and the people were ambivalent, so the Meragim were not going to achieve their goal. They had to now shift into the role of Lasur Osa, Vayotziu es Dibas Haaretz Asher Saru Osa, in order to Kaviyachol speak about the Milus of Eretz Yisrael, when in fact they're going to talk about Eretz Ocheles Yoshveh. We investigated and it's really not a good land for us. Yoshua and Kalev were also included in the Sarim. The Pasuk describes them as Sarim. They were investigators in order to speak about the Shvach and Milah of Eretz Yisrael, in order to contradict the words of the Meraglim and get the Jewish people gazed up and excited about going to Eretz Yisrael and conquering the land. So this is a very important difference that the Ramban is making between V'yachbru and V'yasuru. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu sent these spies for two purposes, two goals. On the level of V'yasuru, which Hashem had commanded Moshe, meaning that they should come back with a good report, Moshe thought, because that's all he was exposed to, that's all he was aware of, that they had succeeded wonderfully by admitting and confessing it's an Eretz Zavas Chol Dvash. They gave an A-plus grade to the land of Israel and its qualities. The Meraglim themselves tried at first on the level of the Yachbaru to succeed in discouraging the people from Eretz Yisrael from the military perspective, the military campaign. The Meraglim were not successful. They were still ambivalent. Yoshua and Kalev were still impacting on the people to believe in their strength, their might, or the might of God to help them. So now what happens is the Meraglim go into private chambers, leaving the public light and the eye of Moshe and Aaron, and within the Olim, to try to do the Lasur Osa, but in a negative way. To investigate the land, look at the Esrog this way and that way, and finally decide, hey, you know what? There's a Bletlach here. The land is not good for us. It may be good for giants, but it's certainly not good for us. Now, when the Meraglim actually display the fruits of the land, and they say, V'gam Zavas Chol V'Dvashi V'Zeh Pirya, it would seem, and on the surface level straight away, that they are coming to praise the land of Israel. But at the end, what we find out later on is that that wasn't their intention. Their intention was not to praise the land of Israel, but rather to show and display these fantastically large peros to indicate the deficiency of the land of Israel, so far as it's a land for giants and not for us little pipsqueaks. And I would like to read to you a paragraph here in the Shalmei Nochem, in the name of the Ksav V'Kabbalah, who writes in a very similar vein to the Ramban, but embellishes it in his own way. He says, Yesh Hevdel, we should differentiate between Sar L'Meragel. There's one category, one class of a person who's called Sar. The other is a Meragel. Ha'isha shar yasur hu mevakesh atov lasur lahem menucha lasur lehem makom lechanos seichem. The Ksava Kabbalah quotes various psukim to prove that lasur means to look for the good in something. Ubehepik ha'maral yevakesh sara. The maragel on the other extreme, the polar opposite of a sar, he's looking for the weak points. When the kudas haturfa, he's looking to expose those negative attributes of the country, let's say, that we're about to attack. Kimo meraglim osam liros es ervas haaretz basem v'yargel me bi'avdecha el adoni melech kula minyane gilui hagonos v'hara hagnus v'hara. It means that Lasur is a reference to someone who speaks badly about something. Gnus and Ra, Gili Ra. He's going to reveal all the negative points. And that's happens when transpires. And this transition is that from the perspective of the original purpose for which Bnei Yisrael wanted to send Meraglim, it was Meraglim. Meraglim means find the negative points in the land so that we'll know how easy or what strategy we should take to conquer it. However, Moshe Rabbeinu, based on the Tzivur Hashem, sends them out for an entirely different purpose. He doesn't call them Meraglim at all. He calls them Sarim, Lasur Osa, which means to find the good in the land, not the negative points. That's the job of Meragel. But Lasur means to sing its praises. And therefore the essence and the objective of sending the Meraglim described here in the Ksava Kabbalah Sholcham, they were sent Lasur Es Ha'aretz Laman Yiru Es Tova, to see its goodness. Tova is with a mapike, its qualities, its positive qualities. V'yagidu kvoda, and they should speak the glory and the honor of the land, El Ha'am, El Am Ha'aretz, to every member and rank and file citizen, and that would strengthen their hands and give them a good, secure feeling about what they're going to gain at the end of the day after this military campaign reaches its successful conclusion. And therefore we call them Meraglim. Even though Moshe doesn't call them Meraglim, we call them Meraglim. Moshe saw them as Sarim. He thought that they were coming to investigate and bring back a good positive report about the nature of the land. But what it turns out is that they were Meraglim. Meraglim means that they found the weak points in the land, the negative points in the land. Gam ki b'parsha shlichusam lo nikru kol echad b'shem sarim, ki b'shem sarim, v'ula b'mishneh Torah kasuv lemar v'yavo ad nachal eshkol v'yiraglu osah. So again, in the initial parsha, here in Shlach, when they're sent on their shlichus, we only find one name to describe them and their objective, their role, Sarim. But when we get to Moshe Rabbeinu's rebuke of the people and specifically of the scouts, he calls them the Yiraglu Osa. They are Meraglim. Instead of playing the role as Sarim to find the positive dimensions of and qualities of the land, they became Meraglim. Moshe sent them Lasur Es Ha'aretz in order to find the good points of the land, to praise the land and its special milus, its holiness, but they wanted to be Meragel Es Ha'aretz. A Meragel is someone who finds the weak points in the land, Bignusa, and they want to speak about the negative qualities of the land, Ubis Chisrona, and its deficiencies. And then if we look at the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, Vayikhu biyada mipri haaretz vayoridu eilenu vayashivu osonadov vayomru tov haaretz asher Hashem elkeinu nosein lanu v'lo avisem lalos v'tamru es pi Hashem elokeichem. It's very strange over here. At the beginning it says that they showed them that the Meraglim display the peros, the priorites, and they said Tova Haaretz. And obviously that's not a reason not to want to go and conquer the land, on the contrary. And yet it says afterwards, V'lovisem lalos. But the answer is that they became meraglim, and they came to speak evil about the land and give an evil report. And that was their purpose, even when they showed these wonderful fruits and they said it's an Eretz Zavas Chol of Devash. Now they're going to add and notify them, not in front of Moshe, Eretz Ochelos Yoshvehi, that its goodness is also its badness. Its positive features are also really the negative features, because if this is such an unbelievably sized fruit, it's so abnormal, then the entire society is abnormal. And the land is abnormal, and it's only fit for giants. So that which is really meant to be lasur in the positive sense is really meragil in the negative sense. And they, as a result of this regal, caused the people of Israel to want to back out of the whole deal. They didn't want to go and conquer the land. And included in this, entire process, is Heru Lehemesa Perus Liam Yisrael. They would show the people of Israel these great fruits, these massive fruits. Es Hasiba Shel Ratzu Lalos. This exhibiting of the fruits is really good for the reason why they should not want to go and conquer the land. And Yoshua and Kalev knew about the true intention of these Sarim to, instead of being Sarim and speak about the praises of the special nature of the land in a positive sense, they really intended to be Meraglim. Meraglim means to find the weak points in the land. And how did Yoshua and Kalev know this? I mean, did they have Ruach HaKodesh? But the answer is that they were together with the other Meraglim for so many years. And the word years that I use deliberately here in this context is because Yom Keneged Shana. They were together with the Meraglim for 40 days. Inseparable. And even if the report of the spies of, namely, Eretz Ochelos Yoshveh, was not in the presence of Kalev and Yoshua, but nevertheless, they, in a general sense, knew that the purpose, the goal of the spies, in truth, was to be medaber as meraglim, to speak about the weak points of the land. And that's why the entire people of Israel want to go back to Mitzrayim. It's all a result of the fact that these Sarim, who were meant to speak positive, had the intention of changing, shifting their role, and taking on the role of Meraglim to find and express the weak points of the land. When they heard about the weak points of the land, the people of Israel said, hey, we're out of here. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. And it's absolutely clear that Moshe and Aaron, on the other hand, who weren't with them during these 40 days or 40 years, if you will, they had no idea what the intention of the Meraglim was. They didn't know that the Meraglim wanted to turn upside down and inside out their role of Lasur HaSaretz and convert it into Ragel HaSaretz. Moshe and Aaron could not counter the argument of Eretz Ochelos Yoshveh because they didn't know about the Eretz Ochelos Yoshveh. Moshe and Aaron could only speak about the positive role of the Meraglim as Lasur, in which they bring back the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, as Moshe Rabbeinu so desired, expecting that the people of Israel would now intensify their vigor and their joy about the land. But the problem is that the Sarim became Meraglim, and they said, you know what, we don't have a chance in a million years to conquer this land. And even if we do, okay, that they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Efes ki az ha'am, Yoshua and Kalev would counter that argument, but they knew, Yoshua and Kalev, about these scoundrels, these Meraglim, that their intention was to be Meraglim. That's what Moshe and Aaron didn't know. And therefore, even if they didn't hear explicitly the words coming out of the mouths of the Meraglim, Eretz Ochelos Yoshveh, because those words were whispered undercover in the Olive of Bnei Yisrael, but nevertheless, even though they didn't hear it explicitly, they understood that the Meraglim was speaking against the Milus of Eretz Yisrael. That's because they knew they became Meraglim. They were very much aware of the intention of these individuals to become meraglim and to speak about the milus of Eretz Yisrael as the deficiencies of Eretz Yisrael, to convert the, you know, the amazing peros into an evil report about the land. And therefore, when Kalev and Yoshua make their passionate plea to the people of Israel, they say, quote, Ha'aretz asher avarnu bo losur osa tova ha'aretz miod mod. They are not meraglim, and whatever the meraglim told you as meraglim is not true. We can testify we came to the land losur osa, and we can testify without a blink, without a shed of doubt, that tova ha'aretz miod ma'od. Don't listen to the meraglim who see the negative. They, the meraglim, saw that the purpose of their shlichus is to be meragel. That wasn't the reason why they were sent necessarily, but that's the way they saw the goal. And that's what they wanted to achieve, to be meraglim. Whereas Kalev and Yoshua, they were the sarim, lasur osa. They understood the purpose of their shlichus was to praise the land of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they said, Achein, it's true, Eretz Yisrael itova ad ma'od. So in the Ramban's framework, the flow of the psukim is very beautiful. Moshe Rabbeinu sends the meraglim with a twofold purpose. Check out the land. Give us a strategic plan for how to conquer the land. Because that's al pi derech hateva, that's what Moshe wants. And number two, he sends them losur es eretz Kanaan, viasuru es eretz Kanaan. In other words, find the goodness of the land. Excite the people about the wonderful qualities, the singular qualities of the land. The people come back, vayeshivu oso davar, it doesn't say losur. The word losur is deliberately omitted in Pasuk of Zion. It says banu el haaretz. It doesn't say losur es haaretz. Because, again, their intention was to be meragel and not losur, to find the positive. And then, later on, the Pasuk says, Vayotziu dibas ha'aretz asher sarub osa, meaning, in the original plan, they were meant to fulfill the role of saru, but instead, they became meraglim, and that's why the Pasuk in Dvarim calls them meraglim. All the psukim are very meduyakim, you know, there's a meticulous choice of words, the lack of words, omission of words, change of words, all to indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu sent them to bring back a good, exciting description of the milus of Eretz Yisrael, to excite them, give them a sense of profound joy in this wonderful, glorious campaign to take over the land of Eretz Yisrael. They, on the other hand, came back not losur es haaretz. They didn't fulfill their mission of losur es haaretz, to find the goodness in the land and the milus. Again, they tried a very interesting ploy, as we saw in the Ramban. They brought back the fruits as they had been sent to do so by Moshe, and the beautiful fruits, and they, Enochinami, it's an Eretz, Zovas Chol of Dvash. They tried to on the level of the Yachperu, to try to discourage the people, tell them that militarily it's impossible to conquer the land. They realized that that wasn't successful, and they weren't achieving their goal of becoming Meraglim, so now they would shift to not the strategic issue, but do we want to be in the land? Can we survive in this land? And now they become meraglim. This they cannot do. They don't have a chance or a hope, a flicker of a hope to do in the presence of Moshe and Aaron, because Moshe and Aaron would certainly contradict them, knowing very well about the beauty and the wonderful qualities of the land. But this they could do in secret. They could go into the Oholim, not in the presence of Moshe and Aaron, and be meragel, and speak about the negative, and take the losur of the beautiful fruits that they brought and convert it into a negative. The positive becomes a negative, to discourage the people. That's the Dibas Haaretz. Had Moshe Rabbeinu been there, he would have contradicted them, but he didn't know about it. Kalev and Yoshua knew about their intention in general, even if they didn't hear the words, Eretz Ochels Yoshveha, which were enunciated in private in the Olim of Bnei Israel under hush-hush cover. But nevertheless, because Kalev and Yoshua were aware of the intention of the balance of the 12 shluchim to be meraglim and to speak negatively, therefore they made the statement, Ha'aretz asher avarnu bo tovi ma'od ma'od, to counter their arguments. So basically, Kalev and Yoshua achieve Moshe's goal, meaning, I don't mean achieve it l'maisa, but they were really doing exactly what Moshe wanted. They got an A+ in the test with flying colors because, number one, on a military level, we can do it, and we'll give you specifics about how we would plan out a military campaign and strategy. And number two, Haaretz Tova Ma'od Ma'od. That was Lasuras Haaretz, and not to be Meragel. They fulfilled exactly what they were meant to fulfill in the eyes of Moshe, in the eyes of Hashem. They wanted to get the people excited about the land. Tova Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od. That's Yehoshua and Kalev. The tragedy is that to balance, the other 12 shluchim wanted to become meraglim, not losur, but meraglim. They tried on the military campaign level to discourage the people there. They did not succeed. They fell on their faces. And they got some really heavy flack from Yehoshua and Kalev. But what they did in private, and what they successfully did, was getting the people to the point of the, in which the people would be absolutely discouraged and downhearted about the possibility of going to this land. Who wants to live in such a land? It's an Eretz Ochel Yoshvel. That's the Meragel role that they played. And even though when the people murmured against Moshe Rabbeinu, they spoke about the Cherev, the fact that militarily we're going to be devastated by the powerful, mighty armies of Canaan and the giants that live and inhabit the land, that's because they didn't want to say in front of Moshe what they really had in their heart of hearts, that the land itself is not good. It's an Eretz Ochel Yoshvel. Because they were following the example of the Meraglim. Meraglim didn't want to say this publicly in front of Moshe and Aaron, knowing that Moshe and Aaron would contradict them. They understood that the Meraglim wanted to say this b'chadri chadorim in the secret chambers, and therefore they kept that secret. But in truth, what was it about the whole parsha of the Meraglim, the whole episode, that brought the people to a state of despair? It was not necessarily the military fiasco. There they were confused, they were ambivalent, but it was the nature of the land. They really questioned whether or not they could survive in this land. Is this a good deal? It's like when you pick up the esrog and you check it, you see the blemishes. It might not be such a good deal. It's an Eretz Ochelus Yoshveh. Beautiful a puzzle where the pieces of the puzzle fit in. The Lashonos are very Meduyokim, and the contrast between Yehoshua and Kalev on the one hand is succeeding with, you know, in their mission with flying colors. We have on the other extreme a group of people who became very evil, and they completely transformed their mission from a mission to find the good in the land. They wanted to be Meraglim instead of Losur and speak about the Shvach of the land. They became Meraglim, who always see the weak points and the negative points in the land. All right, we'll stop here.